From Gravett, Arkansas, this is Shepherd's Chapel with Pastor Arnold Murray. Join with us now as Pastor Murray takes you on a book-by-book, chapter-by-chapter, line-by-line study in God's Word. Now, here's Pastor Murray.
All right, good day to you. God bless you. Welcome to the Shepherd's Chapel. Hey, welcome to this family Bible study, our Praise God, Our Father's Words. Well, we got through with the book of Corinthians, and we're going to have a little special today. We're going to talk about America. We're going to talk about our military. We're going to talk about your military. There's one thing I want you to know, and I don't want you to ever forget. First, I think I'll lead into this in this regard. We're getting in a habit in this nation of showing this program and that program where we see, yes, when I was a child I was mistreated and my dad did this to me and my mother did this. I'm not talking about child abuse or anything of that nature. I'm just talking about my dad was an alcoholic. And I've heard so much of this poor me baby stuff till I've had it up to here. Of people trying to blame their own faults on somebody else. Now you go out to these psychiatrists and pay them $90 an hour. Now there are people that need a psychiatrist. But when you're looking for someone to blame your own troubles on, they're your fault. It wasn't something your dad did. I took a little shot here and there, and I'm not condoning that or saying it's right. I'm just saying that does not shape your life. Be a man or a woman of God and stand up and answer for your own habits. I've got habits. I don't try to blame them on anybody else. They're mine. And friend, you can't deal with them until you realize they are your faults, your habits. Don't go trying to blame them off on somebody else, especially at $90 an hour. That is, that is really stupid. I like can-do type people, not poor me babies. Poor me babies, it would seem, are any more a dime a dozen, and I can see that the media, talk shows, this, that, and the other, are hatching out crop after crop after crop of making people think that they don't realize what happened when they were younger or older or in between or whatever. Well, I just blocked that out. Oh, don't. Hey, you're you. And you have to answer for yourself. Now, there are sicknesses, mental sickness and other, that I'm not talking about. I believe in supporting the handicapped and the ill right to the last chunk. I mean, we can take care of our ill. But I get tired of well people. Nothing wrong with them, other than a bunch of crybabies trying to put all their problems off on somebody else rather than standing up and playing the part of a man, woman, or child and taking responsibility for your own actions. It's, friend, in God's eyes, and not in mine anyway, and I'm sure not in our Father's, it just don't fly. I like mature people that are able to say, yep, I've got a fault and it's my fault. If your father took a drink, came in late, raised sand and everything, it should have been a good example to you of what not to be. You should have a can-do type person learns from every experience they come in contact with. Now, perhaps that's an oversimplification, but I'm going to tell you something. Your psychiatrist might say that's an oversimplification, but I'm going to tell you something. That's the only way you can overcome it, is to take responsibility for your own fault, stand up, and do something about it. Grab your own bootlaces and pull yourself up, and stop trying to blame things on somebody else. Nobody's perfect. Our parents weren't necessarily perfect. Some of them pretty close to it. But that doesn't change the fact that you're an individual, and you have to answer for what you do. Okay? Now, I don't know. Did any of you need that? I really don't know why I wanted to say that, other than it would seem that every talk show in the country, I'm glad I don't have time to watch them all the time, are very depressing because of this poor me baby stuff. It just really gets to me. I love can-do type people. You lay it out there, we can cut it, friend. We can get it done. And that's the way you should be. Okay, now, your military, your nation. Well, what do you mean my nation? This is a one nation under God. It is of the people, by the people, and for the people. We are the people. And if we allow certain things to take place in this nation that create a benchmark, then it must go through our elected officials before it can become law or before it can be a precedent set for the future. And quite frankly, I'm leading up to gays in our military. Now, being an old military man myself, with many years in the Marine Corps, and an old combat veteran, I can tell you, coming out the gate, even as a military person, it's not going to fly. Yeah, you've got a few scattered around it now, and I've known a few of them, and they have lead a life most miserable indeed, in fear. It is a dangerous place once someone is identified. Call it right, wrong, or in between. That's just the way it is, my friends. And there is a far more serious aspect to this. Therefore, it behooves us as a nation and as the people of that nation that we do something about someone that tries to set a benchmark, a precedent, or a law. It must pass not only the Congress and the Senate, it must pass the people. Because we are their boss. We tell them what to do. And as a Christian nation, and as Christians, this is one time we're going to have a voice in it. I want to say one thing right now. There are many gays that in studying with this ministry, as a matter of fact, I understand a matter of minutes ago, one such person called and indicated how much this program had helped them straighten their life away and get things in gear, get things right, because they also are can-do type people. So I want you people to know that I'm not picking on you. If anything, I'm protecting you. And within this, it is a matter for the nation, of the people, by the people, and for the people. It has to do with the blessings of our Father on this nation, and God does bless America. But we have to know what our Father feels about these things. As a teacher of the Word, I always let the Word, let God direct the course, let God speak. And when he speaks, my friend, we must do it. We must follow that path. Okay, with that thought in mind, and I might say one other thing. While we have time, and we do, there are many who would say, oh, my word, you don't understand about the separation of church and state. Well, I think I do. If you would say that, maybe you don't. The reason we have this clause that brings about the separation of church and state is the fact that when our forefathers came here, they lived in a nation that forced one church upon them. They were forced to be a part of that church, and that church reigned supreme. The church passed the laws, basically. That is wrong. Therefore, in this nation, by our forefathers, it was so set aside that the government could not establish a church and have that church become a part of the state, passing law or commandments upon the people. But in no way whatsoever did it ever say Or was it ever intended that those members of the so-called churches, that as citizens of the nation, were not also members of, even though they were church members, would not also be members of the state? Therefore, they have an open voice. I do not believe it is right for church people necessarily to participate or really go all the way out in partisan politics. As a matter of fact, we have a law that prevents churches from involving themselves in partisan politics. And I tend to agree with that. I think we have a right to express our opinions as far as nonpartisan politics go. I don't think it, I know it. What I'm about to say is nonpartisan. It has to do with only one thing, and that is your so-called commander-in-chief trying to pass a law that forces upon the military the acceptance of homosexuals. Now, it is rather strange that a man that is a draft dodger could become such a military expert just, you know, in a matter of 100 days or more. A man who absolutely went to a foreign nation and demonstrated against our military, against our nation, and moves himself through whatever methods, promises, and becomes so-called commander-in-chief, the people in our military cannot speak out against that man. Why? He is their commander-in-chief, even if he is a draft dodger. They have to be very careful. The man is not disciplined. The man does not understand the military. The man, as far as I know, never even belonged to a Boy Scout troop, much less a military organization. Therefore, we must speak not only for ourselves, but for our military, because they are handcuffed, even as one general in somewhere up north, was it Alaska? Somewhere up north, at a banquet which was separate from the military, called him a draft-dodging, womanizing, something else. I mean, it was all true. But he's being hung out to dry about it. Well, that's what happens to the military if they speak. That doesn't happen to us. We have freedom of speech, and we have freedom of religion. Our religion as Christians very strongly prohibits ourselves, and it is our military and it is our nation, having anything to do with such an order. Because I'm going to tell you something. Do we have gays in the military now? Hey, we always have had a few here or there, very sparse. I felt sorry for them. I pitied them because they were not happy people, and they would be the first, if they're honest, that would let you know that. If they are known, and it's not that big a deal to tell. Nobody hides in the closet. It becomes obvious. And I'm not saying that all of them flaunt it. They are miserable indeed, but there is a far cry in this nation under God declaring they cannot serve in our military camp, and that's important. I'll document it here in a moment. That our nation, with its so-called commander-in-chief, giving orders that we as a people accept the fact that we may now place homosexuals in our military. That would make God very angry with us. And He, I can assure you, would remove His blessings from America. That's how serious it is. Now let me document that for you. God is the same yesterday. He's the same today as He will be forever. And His laws concerning our military, our how that we war and so forth, will never change. Except for the fact that when we come to the eternity, there will absolutely be no war. Let's call up Deuteronomy chapter 20, if we may, verse 1. Let's ask a word of wisdom from our Father as we look into our Father's Word on this subject. Deuteronomy chapter 20, verse 1, and it reads, "When thou goest out to battle against thine enemies, and seest horses and chariots and a people more than thou, be not afraid of them, for the Lord thy God is with thee, which brought thee up out of the land of Egypt. Do you believe that the reason we would battle over Iraq with the night lit up with anti-aircraft fire, that we would have no one hit? And the reason that the battle only lasted a matter of hours rather than days, was it our ingenuity? Yes. It was also God's blessings. God was with us. God has always been with us, and it is a promise that we will control our gates. But there comes a time, if something goes too far over center, the people themselves must act, and that's what we shall do, is act indeed. Okay? God is with us when we go out to war. Quite contrary to what some might think, what some powder puff might say to you. Verse 2. And it shall be, when ye are come nigh unto the battle, that the priest shall approach and speak unto the people. In other words, you're going to pray to the Father, talk to him. Verse 3. And shall say unto them, Hear, O Israel, ye approach this day unto battle against your enemies. Let not your hearts faint, fear not, and do not tremble, neither be ye terrified because of them. Verse 4, For the Lord your God is he that goeth with you to fight for you against your enemies to save you. My friends, that's why America has never lost a war. I know that some might say, well, what about you guys in Korea? Did you win? You bet we won. There was just a handful of us Marines caught up at the reservoir. We made it out just fine, though there were hundreds of thousands of Chinese, and that's no reflection on the Chinese. Why? God was with us. It was a miracle. And Vietnam, people will say, oh, what an awful war that was. Listen. Those two wars broke the back of communism. It exists no longer. You can be very proud of your veterans of both those campaigns because they protected this nation as a Christian nation, whereby we have the freedom and the right and the guarantee to be able to do what you're seeing this man do right now, speak out for the people, to the people, and with the people. That's a great freedom that is precious. It has been purchased at a high price by men and women of this nation. Don't ever fail to utilize it. Why? God has always been with us. Do you know the way you could change that? You know the way that... I'm going to turn over to the 23rd chapter and I'm going to show you the way you could change that real quickly. It's about to be done, my friend, and it will be done by July the 15th if the people of this nation, believers, unbelievers, just the people in general, do not stand up and do something. Listen to me. I want to go to the 9th verse, if I may, of the 23rd chapter of Deuteronomy. And it reads, When the host goeth forth against thine enemies, Then keep thee from every wicked thing. That means every unclean thing. Keep unclean things out of the military. The military has a full-time job doing its job without having something unclean within it. Even to the point, verse 10, if there be among you any man that is not clean by reason of uncleanliness, that chanceth him by night, then shall he go abroad out of the camp, he shall not come within the camp. Uncleanliness was usually, it could be any sickness or anything else. You separate him, isolate him. That's done even to this day. It's called quarantine. But there's also another uncleanliness that causes one to be separated from that camp. You're going to find out what it is in a moment. And, beloved, if you want God's blessings on this nation, you will act. Verse 11. But it shall be, when evening cometh on, he shall wash himself with water, and when the sun is down, he shall come into the camp again, if that be the case. Verse 12. Thou shalt have a place also without the camp whither thou shalt go forth abroad. In other words, to relieve yourself. What God is saying, I don't even want your straddle trench in the camp. I want it out of the camp. That's what many of you people in this modern age would call a straddle trench, happens to be a restroom. All right, it's kind of a field-type restroom, all right, that has been used in military since the beginning of time. He said, I don't want that in the camp. Verse 13, and thou shalt have a paddle upon thy weapon. That means a little shovel. And it shall be when thou wilt ease thyself abroad, that means go to the bathroom. I'm going to translate this where you're not going to have any trouble understanding it. Thou shalt dig therewith and shalt with the paddle, and shalt turn back and cover that which cometh from thee. In other words, God says, I want a clean camp, even down to your waist, that is to say, the body waist. Now, verse 14. For the Lord thy God walkest in the midst of thy camp. God's with us. Always has been in our military camps. You may think, well, I always thought you Marines were a bunch of rowdies. Yeah, God was with us, though. He may not have been very proud of some of the things we did, but in camp, we were very disciplined. You never see men more disciplined than in a war situation. And to deliver thee. That's what he's there for. What's God there for? To deliver us, to see that we win. And to give up thine enemies before thee. Therefore shall thy camp be holy, and that he see no unclean thing in thee, and turn away from thee. What will God do if he sees an unclean thing among you? He'll turn away. He won't put up with it. Well, now, beloved, I'm honest in my teaching. The Hebrew manuscripts are very clear as to what God means here by unclean. There is no way from the English that you can very well decide, well, what did he mean, unclean? He was talking about a very specific thing. And I'm going to insist, I don't even trust you to go to your Strong's. I'm going to have it put on the character generator. And I want you to see this word, unclean. What did he mean, you shall not have around you? I'm going to have to look to the side to read it for you. I'm on a camera away from it. Excuse my appearing that I'm looking away from you, but that's the way it's got to be. Okay. This is the Strong's word, 6172. It's pronounced erva. And its root is from 6188. The unclean means nudity, literally, especially the pudenda, or figuratively, disgrace or blemish. And what is this pendunia? Okay? What does that word mean? It has a very special meaning. It means the genitals that extend from the body. God said, I don't want to see those genitals, that the external genitals of your body, I don't want to see them out in the camp. Now, it is not unclean. The word means shame, right? Something shameful. That is natural, naturally, even in modern day. That's no shame. We all have to relieve ourselves at times. But he's talking about using those external genitalia for something other than that that is natural. Do you understand? God says, I don't want to see it. And if I'm with you, I better not see it. I don't know how God could make it any plainer, beloved. I really don't. At 6172 was your Hebrew word for that. It could not be made much clearer, but he's going to. I want to skip on, if I may, down to the 17th verse, where God still speaks. There shall be no whore of the daughters of Israel. That is to say, those tribes that migrated north over the Caucasus Mountains later became Caucasians, called Caucasians, settled Europe, many of them later coming to this nation, Canada, and so forth. Nor a Sodomite of the sons of Israel. Now, you know what a Sodomite is. I don't have to draw any pictures here. That falls under the category of what we call homosexual today. It's in that category, within that camp. As a matter of fact, that's why we have AIDS today in this nation and in the world, is sodomy. It is for that same reason that Christ would teach. It's going to be in the end days exactly as it was in Sodom and Gomorrah, that is to say, practicing sodomy. And you'll remember the two angels that came to Lot. And these men of the city came in the night. They didn't try to drag out the women. They wanted the two angels to seduce them. And of course, the angels, being supernatural, zapped them and blinded them. And even in their blind, and it was even young kids with them, male kids, trying to grapple for these angels. And the stop, of course, was put to it by the destruction. Hey, you keep your camp clean and keep sodomy out of it, or God will leave it. This is very serious, my friend. Very, very serious. Verse 18, this will clarify it beyond any of your doubts. Thou shalt not bring the hire of a whore or the price of a dog into the house of the Lord thy God for any vow. For even both these are abomination. They are what? An abomination unto the Lord thy God. What does it mean? Well, the dog growers, the breeders just automatically get real nervous. Don't worry, that's not what it's talking about. It is a word that comes from a male prostitute practicing sodomy because of the position in that language. And it is called the price of a dog because of the position he must put himself within to practice his male prostitution in sodomy. You dog growers can tithe out of your dog money all you want to. That's not what God is talking about. It's homosexuality. He doesn't like it. He doesn't want it. To him it is an abomination. If you expect him to go to war with your sons in the future, you will be one of the Christians of this nation that will stand up and say, I forbid it. The answer is no. It shall not happen. You see, again, this is a nation of the people, by the people, and for the people. And if there was ever a time in history of our great United States of America, you have come to that moment when by the stroke of a pen, God's blessings can be removed from it. When we are the superpower of superpowers in this generation, blessed by God, appointed by God, fulfilling the prophecy and the destiny set forth thereby. With the promise that we will always control our gates as long as on repentance and that we try. But I tell you this, if this law or benchmark or precedent come into motion, you will see a punishment upon this nation financially, politically, and no doubt even against our enemies in war. The fall of every nation has been sodomy. How can the citizens sit back and take note? And how can the so-called congressmen of this nation, I've seen letters that have been returned to people saying, well, we accepted racism, we accepted this, and the people will accept this also. No, we won't. When do we come to the end of feeling you can slowly go along and change until you can do away with Christianity? For at this moment, we have a government that is non-religion, against religion, anti-religion. Any group can speak out. But if you mention, it can be even a talk show. If the person that calls states that they're a Christian and mention God's name, they're cut off just like that. They're handled as though they were ignorant and have no knowledge whatsoever. It is time, my friend. Do you love your children? Do you love your grandchildren? Then you're not going to hold still for this. It is too much. We will not let the ignorance of congressmen and commanders-in-chief remove our Father's blessings from us and destroy this nation. God hates an abomination. And I, for one, will have no part, and I will speak with every breath to see that this does not happen. And even if some jerk should try to sign it into law, we will not hold still for that. We will fight and fight and fight, because my Father's blessings on this nation have always been, and we're not going to let some jerk, draft-dodging, womanizer put an end to it. It's not going to happen. Am I calling somebody names? No, I'm just telling you the truth. Every word I have said is the truth, and I'm honest within that. What a shame. And it shows more and more as days go by, that shame. It's time to do something about it. How about you? Do you care about your children? Care about yourself? Do you care about our great nation? Do you care about your Father? How he will cry if we don't do something. There are various programs whereby people will give you 900 numbers, which means you're going to pay $2 or $3 a minute while you talk to some machine. And when your political electees, those we have in office, get their numbers, they don't think anything about it because it's a mass farm and they go, oh, they did it. It must come from you. Don't call me. I don't want to put your name in my computer just because you are a good American citizen. Many churches have you call the church so that they can put your name on the list. That doesn't do any good. I don't want you calling this church. If you're a good American, if you're an ex-serviceman, I don't care if you're even an unbeliever, you believe enough, if you're Christian born, that you know right from wrong and that this is too far and we must stop it. And this is what we're going to do. You're going to call and you're going to put, I'm going to give you a mailing address and I'm going to give you telephone numbers. I think it's well if you do both. Do it in your own hand and don't make it a printed out form. Do it in your own hand and honestly put down what you feel about it. Don't hold back. Don't call names as your old pastor does sometimes, necessarily. It's up to you, you know. But at least if you do, make them true names, befitting, and even if it's a descriptive noun, let it be. But be nice and to the point and simply, but there is one line. We're not going to put up with it. Did you hear me? We're not going to put up with it. It's not going to happen. We don't intend to let it happen. And that should be your message. Doesn't hurt. You see, the reason your own hand or your own call counts to your congressman, you're the one that voted for them. It doesn't hurt to remind them that any elected political official that wants to participate in sodomy should never represent this nation. And that you will never vote for them again. They should be drummed out of the corps. I mean, don't be bashful, my friends. Our Father's blessings on our nation depend on you. Me, what can I do about it? I'm about to tell you. You're a citizen of this nation, and your voice counts. And when the pressure is put on, don't worry, they listen. As long as you do it the way I'm telling you to. Do it by telephone, your own personal message, not mine. Thoughts, or to write a letter in your own hand. Doesn't hurt to type it if your handwriting looks like mine where they couldn't read it anyway. But it's best if you have a nice handwriting or a readable handwriting, do it in your own hand. That goes a long ways, friend. But whatever you do, do it. Time it. There is an urgency on this. I may ask you one more time to do this before July the 15th rolls around. We're not going to let it happen. You are somebody. You are mature enough to think for yourself. And you know this is not right. And you're going to do something about it, whether you're a member of this church or what. You're going to participate because it's your nation. We cannot turn it over to the dogs. We're not going to turn it over to the dogs. We're going to stand up. For there have been many brave men and women that have shed their life's blood. That the blessings of God through freedom of religion and freedom of speech would be in this nation. With a constitution that was basically taken from this Word of God. Our constitution was. And this Word of God says we should not stand for it if we want God's blessings to continue in this nation. Father, I ask that every heart and mind be touched unashamedly to know this is the moment. Are Kenites born randomly to any of or all families throughout the world, or are they a specific tribe of people? Could one of my children be a Kenite? Not if the others aren't, because it is a race. What does the word Kenite mean? It's important that we know that. It means the sons of Cain. And it does. If it were spiritual, it could happen randomly. But it is a bloodline. And that bloodline is still in the world today. Christ warned of it even in the book of Revelation. He warned of it when he taught or made this statement, concerning the church of Smyrna. He said in Revelation 2:9, you are rich because you know those that claim to be of our brother Judah, that are of the synagogue of Satan, meaning Kenites. The offspring of the serpent, he called them in Matthew chapter 23. In the English, the word is generation of offspring, but in the Greek, it is the offspring of the serpent, not the generation of the serpent. Okay, Ernestine from Tennessee. Where did Gentiles go before Christ's death? They went to paradise. God's children, some of them overcame. But did they really? Well, through offerings, I don't know. We're not to judge people. But we do know that Christ, after the crucifixion, went to what is called the prisoners. Wherever it was, they were called prisoners there. And I know it was paradise, but it's a gulf apart from where the throne of God is, as it is clearly explained by Christ himself in the 16th chapter of Luke. We'll be getting there before too long. And that's where they were. But Christ freed them because he offered them all the way back to the time of Noah. Your documentation for that is 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 18. Okay, I heard God predetermined and knew which one would have accepted him or not. He made that decision. Well, you heard wrong, honey. There is no way our love... You see, there's one thing that most of the world is ignorant of or something. And that is the fact that God wants his children to love him. But he wants that to be a true love. It is impossible. I know all things are possible for God, but this is one thing he will not do. God wants his children's love, but you can't force someone to love you and still have it be a true love. It's fake otherwise. He doesn't want fake love. If it had been possible that God could predetermine who would love him with their own free will, we wouldn't have had this earth age. He simply would have destroyed those souls and we'd have been done with it. You see, when you give as God does some free will, he does not know what they're going to say because that decision is made here in the gray matter. And the decision is each of ours. How about you? Do you think God's going to make the decision as to whether you go to hell or not? Of course he isn't. He loves you, and as it is written in 2 Peter chapter 3, I'm going to say verse 8 or 9, 7, 8 or 9, somewhere right in there. It is God's will that all come to repentance. It states he's long-suffering, which means he's got an awful lot of patience. And he hopes, that's what will means, that all of his children will repent and come to him. Of course, he knows they won't. No, someone misled you on that. God is a loving God, and when he gives his children total rein, gives them a loose rein, they can go whichever way they choose. He will not interfere with that unless they ask him. If it be one of his election, that's the other end of the spectrum. Then he will interfere in their lives as it is written in Romans chapter 8. Okay, Catherine from Georgia, what is a eunuch? The word eunuch comes from chamber keeper. That's what it really means. It was in the olden times. A eunuch was usually a person whose stones had been bruised in one form or the other, one way or the other, either or damaged. And the king did not have to worry about in his harem or what have you, a caretaker impregnating one of his wives, all right? And they were called eunuchs. But the term probably closer means a chamber keeper, all right? Now, many of the royalty of that time became very closely attached to their eunuchs because I suppose they were used also in education in many times for the young. And some of the eunuchs were very intelligent and later were depended upon and they were still called the chamber keeper. But it did not, in later years, mean necessarily that their stones were bruised, be that as it may. Rosie from Illinois. I've been working real hard studying and trying to be a good Christian. Is it possible to receive the Holy Spirit every day? Really appreciate your teaching. Well, thank you. I'm glad you do. Remember this, Rosie. What is the Holy Spirit? It's God's Spirit in us. And yes, it's in you every day. When you believe upon Christ, you are in Him, and He is in you. And it's not only there every day, but it's there 24 hours a day, every day. Now, there are highlights in one's life when the love that is exchanged within the spirits, that's to say, your spirit and His spirit, that it's like that love or that touch is like an embryo, an ember, rather, of a firebrand, that when you blow up on it, it brightens and it heats, and it jumps to flame. And that's our love for Him and His love in return to us, that there are days, sometimes they're far apart, when you feel that overpowering warmth of His glory and His touch. But it's always there. What did He promise? I shall never leave thee nor forsake thee. A lot of people say, I'm all alone. No, you're not. 24 hours a day, He's right here in spirit. Okay, Vicki from New Mexico. Can a person lose their salvation? Just right up next to it. Okay, the reason you can't say I'll lose my salvation, because it is Yeshua that saves us. He doesn't fail, all right? He does His job. But how we maintain that salvation, and it needs it because we're all sinners. He doesn't just let you walk up to someone's altar and say, I'm saved, and then everything's all right regardless of what you do. No way. And don't you ever let any person peddle that to you. You've got to repent when you sin. Either every time you sin, or you better repent for all of them put together. Because every time you sin, it goes in your book, His book. And the record is there, and you're going to pay for it. Sometimes here, sometimes there. And He puts it that it, you may get in the door, but you're going to be naked as a jaybird before God and the whole world. And your soul naked is a pretty ugly thing. I don't care who you are. The clothing is woven by your righteous acts. Make sure you got plenty of goods to cover your soul with. No, you repent. That's why it is written in Hebrews chapter 4, 5 and 6 concerning maturity. That a lot of these preachers, all they teach is salvation and baptism. They never get around to teaching any meat in God's Word. And to teach salvation and baptism over and over to the same group that's been saved maybe for 30 years is blasphemy against the death of Christ on the cross. That they should teach repentance after that and the meat of God's Word. Okay, Emory from Wisconsin. The Bible teaches, and you have taught it also, that 1,000 of our years is one day of the Lord. Yeah, that's 2 Peter chapter 3. It's right up next to the verse I quoted earlier about it is God's will. God is long-suffering in His will that all come to repentance. And I've got it confused in my mind whether that's, I think this 1,000 years is verse 7. Oh, well, let's look. I don't want to mislead anyone. I think it's verse 7 and 8, but I want to find out for sure here. There's 1 Peter, 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 8, and beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that the day of the Lord is as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is one day. That's the 8th verse. And the 9th verse is, the Lord is not slack concerning His promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, that means burn in hell to ashes, but that all should come to repentance. So it was 8 and 9. Okay, continuing here. Judgment Day, could it be possible, or could it possibly mean that the Judgment Day could be a 1,000-year period as there are billions of souls to be judged on Judgment Day? Your comment on this subject would be welcome. I thank God for your bold teaching. Well, thank you. There's only one way I can teach, and that's the way it comes out with the guidance and the mantle of the Holy Spirit. I think God has kind of a running record, and you might sometime watch a mother that has 8 or 9 children, and at the end of the day ask her if she knows each and every, pretty well each and every thing that she could judge each of those children by at the end of the day before she tucks them in, if one of them might not need a little paddy whack, all right, or a hug. An individual can keep up with their children pretty good. I think that God keeps a running record, all right? I really do. I think we're in the book of life, all right, and I know that no one other than Satan and the Nephilim are blotted out yet, and they're not blotted out yet because to be blotted out in the Greek means even removed from our memories. Well, he's still in my memory. I remember old Satan pretty good. But when that time comes, there is that record that he uses to judge us by. And God has a lot of helpers. He sure has got a lot of helpers. And they're very efficient for their supernatural. All right? Rosie, so what am I saying? I don't know. But it's sure going to be interesting to find out. That is on past that veil. And we're all looking forward to that day of judgment. Well, I think it'll be? I think it'll be a 24-hour period. And I think with God's helpers and that written account, it will be speedily done. Rosie from California, do you anoint yourself with oil to drive out evil thoughts? Yeah, you can. You can sure do that. If someone wears a mantle, they do not have to anoint themselves. And probably I shouldn't even say that, but the way you ask this question, I have to answer it in that way. All right? Let me answer it this way. You should anoint yourself if you feel evil spirits. But, I've got something else I like to do in that case, if you have a problem with it. Why don't you, if you have too many of those evil thoughts, start you a cemetery out in the backyard, over the back fence. Every time you get one of those evil thoughts, take that rascal and go and turn your back to that back door and throw that rascal out there and bury it. Get rid of it. Pretty soon, and do it in the name of Yeshua. Do it in the name of Jesus. Pretty soon, they don't even like to come around you, those bad thoughts, because they know it means death for them, all right? And you can anoint yourself at the same time. George from Michigan. Revelation 1:18. How can there not be a hell? Well, there is a hell. You surely misunderstood if you think I didn't say there was a hell, and it's forever and ever, too. I mean, if you go into it, you're in it forever and ever. Ashes, just, which is blotted out of even the memory of your own mother, your closest of kin, even the father will have you blotted out of his mind. It's as though you never existed to go there. That's why there will be no tears for anyone that goes there. It doesn't come into existence, though, until the end of the millennium. There is a place of holding, and throughout the Bible, the word grave, sepulchre, garbage pit, Gehenna, are called hell. But they're still properly read from the manuscripts, grave, sepulchre. I want to make sure I don't miss something. There is one place in Peter that I'm not even going to mention. We'll just forget that one because it's for fallen angels. But it always means grave or a holding place. It's when it's utilized through the word Hades is what is used in verse 1, chapter 1 of Revelation, verse 18. Okay? Hillary from California. Your wisdom and teaching are much appreciated. Well, thank you. My wisdom, of course, comes from God's Word, for that's what I teach, and it is His Word that gets it done. But I am wondering why you never mention alcohol when you talk about bad habits. Well, I do. I do quite a bit, all right? Haven't you ever heard me? As a matter of fact, have you ever heard me? I even teach that God hates alcohol so bad, he doesn't wait for you to get to heaven or hell to punish you for it. All right? You tank up on it, and he gets you right then most of the time. Or he's certainly not going to let it go past the next morning. Oh, make the cat walk easy, you know. I mean, he really gets on people that are, and how families are wrecked by alcohol. I can't imagine you not hearing me talk, hear, say something about that. Just because I say take a little wine for the good of your tummy, is a little wine is not hard liquor, all right? A gallon of wine is enough alcohol, that's hard liquor, all right? But a little is a little. And I know a lot of people get upset. That's very biblical. My friends, if you have certain, if you have a disease that you can't partake, then naturally don't. But if you don't have that disease called alcoholism, and you're slipping down here to the drugstore and your doctor has written you out this little old prescriptions for some of these mind sinkers, you know, destruction of the mind. I'm not going to tell anybody to throw their medicine away, but I'd a lot rather see you take a little glass of wine for the good of your tummy at bedtime. Anyway, leave the hard stuff alone. If you can't, you know, a gentleman's right to drink. When you stop acting like a gentleman, you lost your rights. I know that may upset some, be that as it may. I'm out of time and I can't recover from it. Leave the stuff alone, all right? Now, we're brought to you by your tithes and your offerings. If we've helped you, you help us keep coming to you and reaching others also. Stay in His Word. This is most important. Every day in it's a good day. Do you know why? Yeshua, the Savior, is the living Word.
Thank you for joining Shepherd's Chapel in today's study of God's Word. If you would like to further your studies with Pastor Murray, write Shepherd's Chapel, Gravette, Arkansas, 72736. For a free introductory package, which includes Mark of the Beast audio tape, a monthly newsletter, a complete tape catalog, and a new student tape list, write Shepherd's Chapel, Gravette, Arkansas, 72736. Feel free to call 800-643-4645 24 hours a day to request the free introductory package or to leave questions for Pastor Murray to answer on the air. We at Shepherd's Chapel would like to thank you for joining us each Monday through Friday at this same time for Shepherd's Chapel.